Well, last week we concluded the Christmas series, and we started with the first Noel, and just the meaning of that word. Merry Christmas! Its roots go back to the idea of bringing good news, and the etymology of that word seems to have its roots going back to the Hebrew of bearing a son, giving a birth, the first Noel, God come in the flesh. Then we looked at Holy Night, the cry to the shepherds. And that seems to be a thing that is in our modern culture, is almost passé today, to talk about the holiness of God, that there is a righteous standard. And this was not just another birth. This was God Almighty, Holy God, come to redeem man. And the result is we stand in awe of him. The wonder of who he is. I guess I need to move just a little bit. Oh, there we go. Back it off. They say that the camera adds 10 pounds. In my case, it added about 30. Then we looked at, oh, come, let us adore him. There's no one else worthy of our adoration. I look at how the modern world elevates and praises and exalts people of certain fame, but really, their names will pass. But there's only one name that will stand forever. You know, when we get to glory, we're going to know one another. And I've got some marks and scars on my body, and we're going to have a new body. But there's one throughout eternity that bears the marks of the price he paid for you and I. After the resurrection, he went to Thomas and he says, "Go ahead, put your finger in the hole. Put your finger in my side." There'll never be any question as to which one is the Christ. He's the one that bears the scars of our redemption. And he's worthy of our adoration and praise. Then last week we looked at Joy to the World, and that hymn was actually written in the 1700s. It was written not pertaining to the first advent, to the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, but to the coming of the King, to the second advent. And we looked at the suffering servant, the Lamb of God on the cross. We looked at the servant King. Christ will rule for 1,000 years on earth, and then the eternal kingdom, where he is the supreme King over all. Now, that takes us into the new year, and that takes us to Luke chapter 4. Now, if this is true of Christ, it needs to be true of me. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 says, continually being filled with the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. How much more you and I? Here is the Immaculate Son of God. But he was open to the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were in it, he was hungry. Surprise. You know? I had a banana and a little bit of pudding this morning for breakfast. I'm getting ready for lunch. It hasn't been 40 days. You know? And he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stones to become bread." The adversary always tempts us in our weakness. Jesus was hungry, so he comes right at that. You know, Jesus answered him, said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." That's an important portion to remember as we get to the devotional. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said unto you, I will give authority, all authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. That might shock some people, but do you understand that when Adam rebelled in the garden, authority was passed to Lucifer. He was offering Jesus something that he had the right to give. But Jesus had come to take that back. If then you will worship me, it'll all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him and said, it is said, you are not to put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. Notice there's a little bit left to that line. Until an opportune time. And that opportune time was Gethsemane's garden, just before the cross. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it's written. Now, that is encouraging to me. Every now and then, I need to get a reference to find where something is written. Jesus didn't just open the scroll and randomly start to speak. He opened the scroll, and he looked for a particular portion. It wasn't random. It's kind of like that story of the guy that was early in his Christian life was looking for direction. You know, so he thought he'd just open his Bible and put his finger down. And he read the portion and said, Judas went out and hung himself. He didn't like that one, so he closed it and opened again and stuck his finger down and said, go thou and do likewise. But that's not how you get counsel from God. You need to become familiar with the scripture. And in your times of need, look for the portions that God has quickened. Go there. He looked for the portion where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This year, every day, every year, God wants to give his favor to you and I. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Not just 2021, but every day is to be a year of the Lord's favor. This is the season of the Lord's favor. God is for us. He wants to lead us. He wants to direct us. In your Bible, he says, the year of the Lord's favor. Is there a comma there in your Bible? There's a period, right? Well, if you've got your bulletin, take your bulletin for just a moment, and let's look at the portion that Jesus is reading. Isaiah 61, 1-3. And it's in the bulletin. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What's there? A comma. But God Almighty, in the person Jesus Christ, when he's speaking to believers, puts a period there. Read on. And the day of vengeance of our God. That day is coming. At the second advent, when he returns, he's going to judge the nations. And he'll rule for 1,000 years. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and there'll be a great white throne judgment. But we are in the interim. We're in the period of the called out, of the elect, of the declaring of the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4, after the first message he preached after the temptation with the devil, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's where we are. We're in the kingdom of God right now. This is the day of the Lord's favor. We're his children. And he wants us to walk in his favor and his love. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of rollovers, in the midst of the loss of a job, and I keep saying that to myself from my son, God's for him, not against him. To comfort all who mourn, who to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. He is quoting a portion of a promise given to Israel that though they are in captivity, they're going to be brought back. And there will be the reign of God through the Messiah. But what they didn't catch was that there had to be redemption first. And that's the season we're in. Israel is being called back as a nation, but they're going to be a set above all nations at the second coming of Christ. In the meantime, this is the year of the Lord's favor. You're his children. His blessing in his hand is upon you. So he puts a period there. There's a break in this prophetic word given in Isaiah. Do you see that? Now, if the first has been fulfilled, I suggest to you that the latter part of that is going to be fulfilled too. And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, someday in the future. No. Today. This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Not the day of vengeance. It's coming. But the day of the Lord's favor, secured for you and I by the blood of Jesus Christ, the suffering lamb on the cross. That takes us back to last week's devotional. But he's coming again. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Then he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What you have heard, you did it at Capernaum. Do here in your hometown as well. And he said, truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own town. But in truth, I tell you, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only Zephirath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. When they heard these things, all the synagogue was filled with wrath, anger. And they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so they might they could throw him down the cliff. If you look at the geography of Nazareth, there's a cliff there, and they're gonna throw him over. But passing through their midst, he went away. They couldn't do it. This is the year of the Lord's favor, but not everybody is prepared to receive it. And that is so tragic. And then the last half of that verse, where Jesus put a period in Isaiah, there's a comma. That's going to happen in the future, the day of the vengeance of the Lord. We'll have to give account of what we did with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the point I want to make this morning is that each and every day, not just 2021, but each and every day, you and I walk in the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. God is for you, not against you. We have favor as an heir. John 1, 12 to 13 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're the children of God. I like to help people that need help, but I really like helping my family because they're family. Not opposed to helping others. So when I made a deposit last week to the bank, I thought of my son. And I thought, well, I'll give part of my gas allowance to my son. I just deposited directly into his account. Because he's my son. I want to bless him. And then my heart was warmed when we were talking to him briefly last night. Lynn phoned just to see how he was doing. We knew in the back of our mind that at some point he had promised that they would go and help a friend of theirs move from Medicine Hat to Red Deer. And he's unemployed. His wife's unemployed. And he says to Lynn on the phone, he says, yeah, Dad sent us a little bit of money. And we thought, hey, great. That'll cover our gas to go and move Danielle. So I wanted to favor my son, but my son turned around and favored somebody else. This is the year of the Lord's favor. We have the opportunity to bless one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? That's where our heart should be at. We're going to be touching on that in just a few minutes. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm praying that everyone here this morning and everyone listening on Zoom and anyone who may tune in later off the website has that inner witness that they are a child of God. Not by things that we've done or acts of righteousness on our part. For all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But we stand in awe of him who paid the price to redeem us. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. I don't like this part of the verse. Perhaps you do. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I know this much. God's not going to forsake us. We all may have to walk through some deep water, but God will be walking with us. Amen? Never alone. No, never alone. Then in Ephesians, and we're not going to read Ephesians 1. Time is moving on us. But over a year ago, as sharing devotionals from Ephesians chapter 1. There we go. And when you look at Ephesians 1, you read that chapter, and I encourage you to do that at home this afternoon or this week. There's a number of things that are addressed in just that first chapter. You know, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. That's favor. In Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. And you read through that chapter, you find out the fact of election. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. The merchant who goes out and he finds the field with the pearl of great price and sells all he has to get that field, that wasn't me looking for God. That was God looking for me. He came as man and died for me to get me. I must never lose that perspective. I wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for me. God knew your heart, and you were called when? Before the foundation of the world. The truth of predestination, that he has called you and elected you. He knows your response, and he is leading you. The reality of redemption, that a price was paid for you. This is all in the first chapter of Ephesians 1. The revelation that we are adopted. And I shared at the time when we were doing that series that this is Roman adoption, very different than what we think of as adoption, where you take a little orphan child and you... This was in Roman law. You could adopt your own son who was a minor and give him authority over you. It's like a power of attorney, that he had the authority to act on your behalf. And Jesus Christ says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. You've been adopted. You've been given authority in Christ Jesus to move on his behalf and in his name. That's incredible. The joy of forgiveness. It is joy inexpressible and full of glory. It is. And I must never lose that perspective. The will of God for us as children. God has a plan and a purpose for me. And John, if you'll align with it, you'll see things happen. You know? The reality of being sealed by God. You know, Brother Dave, years ago when I was when I started with the bank, and the manager in Penticton where I started, he had me doing some stuff. He says, okay, you got to go get some seals from the accountant and put the seal on this document. And it's a little red dot. What's the big deal? You know, he says, well, we'll get an audit memo if we don't put the seal on. And he explained to me that the seal is evidence that there's a transaction that's yet going to be completed. And without the seal there, it wasn't a proper document. It was a promise that there's going to be an exchange of goods or services. Is that not right? And listen, you've been given the Holy Spirit as a seal that you're his and you're going to spend eternity with him. It's the guarantee of that which was paid is yet going to happen. Though it doth not yet appear what we shall be when we see him, we're going to be like him because we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the promise of a future inheritance. You know, I hear people talking about what heaven might be like, and I can guarantee you this much. It's not sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, and eating Philadelphia cream cheese. It's not. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what he's prepared for those who love him. Whatever's coming, my mind can't grasp it. Paul said, I know a man, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I don't know. This is 2 Corinthians. He says, but such a man was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things that weren't lawful to be spoken about. And I think it wasn't lawful because you just couldn't put it into words. There was no capacity. So we're an heir because of what Christ has done for us. So this is the year of the Lord's favor, but favor is not all automatic. Remember the story of the prodigal son? He wanted his inheritance now, and he took off. And he blew it all. He was still a son, but he was not in the place of blessing. And finally, when he's wallowing worse than the pigs, and they're eating better than he is, he decides, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to confess to my father, I have erred. Please receive me as a servant, not as a son. His dad hadn't gone looking for him, but his dad watched every day for his return. And when he saw the son coming, he went to greet him, and he embraced him. Then he told his servants, prepare the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. The other son comes in, and he's a little ticked off. He says, I've been faithful. I've been here the whole time. You're never throwing me a party. He says, you've been in the blessing of the house the whole time. You've had that opportunity the whole time. May I never be jealous of those who come in to the kingdom and do things that I never did. Amen? But I want to be in the house. And as long as I'm in the house, I'm an obedient son, I'll enter into blessing. So I was reflecting on this, and I came out with seven habits that I feel are fundamental to walking in the favor that God has for us. And I kind of borrowed and stole and begged from Stephen Covey, who wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. We're talking about being proactive, put first things first, think win-win, you know. He talks about seven key habits that are important for you and I, just to be productive, successful people. Well, I want to give you seven key habits that I feel are essential to walking in the favor of the Lord, to being in that position that I can enter into what God has for me. And part of that means that I submit to Him that what He has isn't always what I want. Some of it's just covetousness on my part, and I have to deal with that. So here's the first habit I put down, and I feel that there is a progression here that is I have found in my life to be somewhat meaningful. First, the habit of meditation. I sent this to someone, and they responded, and they said, these look good. I'm looking forward to this. And I said, I'm seriously contemplating the will of the Lord that I maybe develop each of these as a separate message, and I think that's where we're going to go. So this is an introduction. The first habit is meditation, which involves memorization of Scripture. You know, it's just the natural result of meditating on Scripture. Psalm 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's favor that yields its fruit in its season. You know, Pastor, things aren't happening in my life right now. Maybe it's not the season. There's a season. For everything, there is a season. Its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. That's a huge word. All that he does, prospers. Have had some friends that early in the fall were having an issue with cattle, Black Lake. I have no idea what that is. Sounds terrible. And I was just praying, God, they love you. And you say whatever they do will prosper. God, I pray for a release of that favor on their lives. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Father, would you just release that? This ties in with Joshua 1:8. This word of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou meditate on it. And it says, it goes on and says, and then whatever you do, you will have success and will prosper. I had to rethink prosperity when I read about Joseph. And he's a slave in Potiphar's house. And it says the Lord was with him, and he prospered as a slave. And then Potiphar's wife turns on him and lies about him. And he ends up in prison. Not like our prisons. I mean, it was a hole. But God was with him, and he had favor, and he prospered. And he was put in charge under the warden. That changed my idea of what prosperity was. He didn't have a grand mansion or a royal chariot. But the Lord was with him, and he prospered. Then he interprets the baker and the butler's dream. And it's fulfilled. The baker's put to death. The butler's restored to his office. And then Scripture says, and the butler forgot about him for 2 full years. But he was in the prison, and God was with him, and he was prospering. That changed my notion of what prosperity is. Beloved, we're prosperous because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is the year of the Lord's favor. I'm with you. If I take you through deep waters, it's not to drown you. It's to cleanse you and bring you through that you know that I'm faithful. meditating on the Word of God begins to bring those perspectives into our life. And then where we are doesn't seem as bad, and we believe that God will make a way. The next is the habit of focus. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on you. In I think in Psalm 27, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his tabernacle. Focus helps us to stay on the path. I think it's Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Look neither to the right nor the left, but look straight ahead. You know, have you ever been driving with somebody and they're looking off at something else, and your hand tends to go where you're looking? You know, oh, look at the cattle. And the next thing you know, you hear the rumble strip as you're going into the ditch. You know, focus. Now, what helps our focus? Knowing the Word of God. Meditating on the Word. As I meditate on the Word, it produces greater focus. I begin to discount a lot of things out there. Focus leads me to the habit of obedience. Yeah. Matthew 7:24-25 says, everyone that hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. Some of you might feel like that's what's happening right now. I'm in the middle of a storm. But you're built on the rock, amen? You know, storms come and storms go. But the rock stays. But it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. Well, the foolish man was the one who heard the word and didn't do it. Same storm came. But it wiped that house out. Kind of like the three little pigs, right? You know, house of straw, you know? Yeah, no, build a brick house on the rock. You know, obedience is the key. And I've had times in my life where I felt like the two sons. You know, where the father says, go out and work in the field. And one says, I'll do it. And the other one says, I won't. The one who said, I won't, after a little while, thought, nah, he's dad. And he goes out and he does it. The one who said, I would, went and didn't. I've had times in my life where I said I would, but I didn't. But more and more in my life, I find myself saying, I don't want to do that, but I end up doing it. Obedience is a learned behavior. Nature versus nurture. All we like sheep have gone astray, but God's given us a new heart, a new directive, new spirit. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness. I like the version in Mark. It says, and the Spirit drove him. You ever felt like you're being driven to certain places you don't want to be? So was Jesus. In all ways tempted, but without sin. He suffered those things for you and I. I'm learning obedience. Well, meditating on the Word of God and having a right focus and learning obedience, I find the next natural thing that happens is you'll learn how to give. Yes, Jesus paid it all, but we're learning to give. So I'm not going to do a message on tithing, but I will do a message on giving. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Have you yet discovered that you cannot outgive God? That as you give, you know God's going to return it somehow. I'd have to find it. There's a scripture in Proverbs. Okay, let's back up one step. Who's ever given to the Lord that the Lord's required to give it back to him. Cheryl will hear, she'd be looking it up for me. That's in the Word. But you know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth to the Lord. And as you get in the Word of God, you begin, and what's the root for this? You go back to Genesis. Where's Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I've heard people say, well, if God is a God of love, why are people starving to death? Because you're not doing anything about it. Because the answer is back in Genesis. We are our brother's keeper. God so loved the world that he gave. And he's entered into you and I. And as I meditate on the Word of God, and as I maintain right godly focus, and as I learn obedience, one of the things that I learn in obedience is I learn how to give. And when I give, I don't rob myself. Then the habit of praying. I've discovered in my own life that when I give, it's easier to pray. Because often when I'm praying to get. I got my checklist. I want this and I want this and I want this. And when you touch this person, you touch that person. But when I give, I'm looking at the needs of others. And then when I go to prayer, I find I'm thinking less of myself and more of others. What's the promise when it says focus? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. When I go to my prayer life, I go, God, I got a bunch of stuff I got a list of here, but you said if I seek you, you'll add it. So I'm just going to put those aside. And I'm going to lift up the needs of others. That, Lord, you would give unto them because they need it. I'm in a place right now, I don't need it. You're looking after me. That's a result of focus, right? Which comes out of meditation. And it produces obedience. And I learn how to give. And then when I go to prayer, I have a whole different agenda. And when I'm doing that, God says, I'll pour my favor out on you. Because in the giving, he says, it'll come back to you, pressed down, running over, flowing into your lap. And when I'm seeing that happening in my prayer life, guess what the natural response is? You stand in awe of him and you just give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18, we've referred to this a number of times. Rejoice always. I was quite excited just a few days after Christmas to see that Ken Sear was released from hospital and made it home. And I paused and gave thanks. Thank you, God, that he's home. And then I was stunned this morning to find out that a dear friend had had cancer and they had to remove his eye and take out a tumor. But there was a comment from the daughter that his joy is back. And I'm giving thanks that he knew the Lord. And he's walking with God. And in the midst of a tough situation, guess what? He's experiencing favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Doesn't say you'll have trouble-free life. Just says in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the storm, the rock is there. And all of a sudden, there's this joy of thanksgiving that begins to overwhelm. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Don't you wish that was written a little different? And then it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as I allow these six habits to begin to be fused into my being, people begin to look at us and they say, you're different. I like some of the wording in the Old King James Bible. Yeah. You're familiar with how many still use their Old King James periodically? There's a great verse that says, "And you are a peculiar people." It doesn't mean oddball. It means special or unique. And when we're walking in the fullness of the Spirit, and when we're pressed in the Word of God's coming out, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every. How does that begin? You begin to meditate on the Scripture, and then when you're pressed, it begins to come out. You maintain focus. You know, worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world because they're mine to give to you. He was offering Jesus a shortcut. He says, no, can't do that. Yeah. He walked obediently before the Father. He gave. Yeah. Sometimes he had to borrow a few fish and a few loaves of bread, but he fed 5,000. And the interesting part is how many disciples were with him? 12. How many basketfuls of leftovers did they have? 12. Jesus is teaching them, if you give, you won't have a shortage. As we allow these habits to begin to be infused in us, people want to know what you've got. And it opens the door to witness. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope." You know you're walking in favor. Everything's not rosy right now. Everything's not right now, but I'm walking in favor. I've got hope. How can you possibly have hope in light of what you're going through? Give reason for the hope that's in you, and yet do it with gentleness and respect. If people don't see something in me worth imitating, they're not going to ask. My conclusion is simply this, as we allow the Holy Spirit to develop these and other godly habits in our lives, we will see our personal faith grow. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Such faith opens our soul to a continual infilling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." This is the year of the Lord's favor, and it was secured through the cross of Jesus Christ. When is this going to happen? This day. This is fulfilled in your hearing. My prayer for each and every one that's here and that's listening and that will be listening is that you'll have confidence in the Lord, that He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. As you seek Him, He will meet every need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's a word that we don't talk about much anymore. The kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of God, but do we want His righteousness? You know, there's whole movements that are trying to kill that portion. But listen, it's all secured through the blood of Christ. And with that, I'm going to invite you to take the communion emblems, and we'll receive communion. 40 days in the wilderness. Then he comes out and he preaches and he goes to Nazareth. Goes in on the Sabbath day for the Jews. And they pass him the scroll. And he finds the place that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Beloved, he says, "The Father sent me, so I send you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you." That we can imitate his life and his ministry. That's so profound. And then he ends that ministry, the Last Supper. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. He says, "This is my body broken for you. Take it and eat all." There's an anointing upon you because Christ is in you and with you. I was reading through Ezekiel the other day, just finished reading through it in the midst of Daniel. I think it's Cyrus, Gentile king, Median Persian king. That's the only Gentile in Scripture in the Old Testament that is referred to as the anointed. He was anointed by God. He gave order to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. God records them. And God records for each one of us that there's an anointing upon you. And it's all based on the cross. When he had taken the cup, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. Take it and drink it all. Partake of it." We have a closing song. And if you're able, I'll ask you to stand again for this closing song.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. solace there in his arms. Oh, in his arms we'll take and she'll be. Now we'll find the solace there. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are my solace. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it out, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Jesus, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus.
This is the year of the Lord's favor. And this day, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Father God, help me by your Holy Spirit to be an obedient son. Filled with the Spirit, meditating on your word, maintaining right focus, walking in obedience, learning to give, learning to pray for others. Jesus, learning to, in all ways, to trust you and to lean to you. Father God, and in all circumstances, and it's not easy, Lord, to give thanks in all things. And as those characteristics become infused in my life, may others begin to ask me more and more, what in the world have you got going? And there's only one thing that I have that this world can't give, and that's you, Jesus. Open doors of opportunity for us to share your love and your mercy and your grace, because this is the year of the Lord's favor. And all the saints of God said, amen. Amen.